mom called us early in the morning. When she wakes up us up like that very early, it's something else. And then she called me. When my mom calls you by your English name, it's one thing. And when he calls you by your native name, it's deeper than deep. And then she said, don't be afraid. I am fine. When she starts with, I am fine, it means that something happened that ordinarily is supposed to bring about a difference. So for you to work with my mom or understand my mom, or when she's talking with you, she could be here. I'm the only one that will understand what she's saying. Amen. And when she said, I'm fine, I know that something has happened. I said, what happened? And she said, Amroba stormed the house. And this will be the 8th experience. We've had 7 experiences like that together. And this is the 8th one. And then she's alone at home with my younger brother's daughter, who is preparing for our WAEC. And they entered from the kitchen, and hungry thieves, you know, they took away things from the kitchen, took away the young girl's phone, were dragging the door with her, her room door with her. Thank God there's a bar across. And she ran to the bathroom to shout, and everybody knows her on the streets. She's area mama. So they said, something's happening in mama's house. So, and everybody ran down, you know. But thank God she's safe. Nothing happened. They only just made away with items from the kitchen and from my niece's room. I just want to give God praise for that. Immediately she told me flashes of the 7 experiences we've had, robbery experience, flashed through my mind. And I remember the whole lot. And I just wondered how she'll survive. But I just prayed. I just prayed that God will give her strength. By the next day when I called, she's fine. She's very fine. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Seth Man. Thank you, Pastor Mwai. This is not just a normal say. I just want to say we grow daily by your trainings, we grow daily by the grace of God and the provisions of what and the things he has done in our lives. Thank you so much for your guide. Thank you for your trainings and everything. God bless you greatly. My wife looked at me 2 days ago and said, you have really grown, no? I said, what do you mean? And she said, if it is before, and this is not yet, this is not yet, this is not yet. You will see all the worry, all the worries on your face and all that. I won't even be able to sleep. I sleep like a baby. Hallelujah. It's from training, because we have been trained that once you have prayed about it, leave everything to God. Hallelujah. So thank you so much, Seth Man. Thank you. God bless you, sir. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you because our lives are transformed by virtue of your word. Thank you because tonight you speak to us, you reach out to us, we eat your word, and our lives reflect as those who have spent time with you in your presence. Glory be to you, Father, for in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hallelujah. So tonight, let's look at the true picture of love. The true picture of love. Hallelujah. The true picture of love. You know, the world has given love various. Love is one of the most abused words. The world has given different definitions. Do you know that to some people, love is give me. To some people, it's when you give them gifts that's love. When Pastor Moyo was talking about, you know, when you start loving newly, those gifts that you give. When Pastor Moya was talking about Mrs. D putting her Valentine gift somewhere, I laughed. I just tried to stretch my neck to see if I'll see Mrs. Sajere, because one day we got home and I visited our home once and our village, and I saw the very first card. You know, in relationship they have first. My first card. Mrs. D, you know, I like that smile. And she's remembering some. You remember the first card, the first note, so many things like that. First gift. You know, they told me a story once when I visited my wife's hometown that there's this ring I bought for her initially. It had stone on top, like a diamond stone. So one day she was washing they came home for Christmas at home, and then she was doing something, and then the stone fell off or something happened to the ring, and it got destroyed. She was crying for a ring. Ah. You know, people like to keep things. Ah, my first ring, my first this, my first that. So the world has given a lot of definition. You know, to some people, when you if you don't take them, until you take them to Mr. Biggs or what have you, Tasty Fried Chicken, until you do that, love is not in the picture. To some people, until there's recharge card, love is not in the picture. Some people, we have to go to, what do you call that place? Where they have ice cream and Mrs. Uche, why are you looking at me like that? Cold Stone. It's like happiness likes that place, the way she's looking at me. So, to some people, until they go to Cold Stone, love is not in the picture. You know, when someone tells you, talks about love, people, there are things that are registered in the minds of some people. So, if you're going to talk about it, some people have a picture already in their mind. Something their mind's already telling them. So, except it's that thing. It's about the true definition of love is from the scriptures. Hallelujah. Setman said something. He said, the Bible is so easy to understand, you need help to misunderstand it. Praise God. And that's just truth. Because even all these people who do motivation, speaking and all that, they pick things from the Bible and just put some things there and just make it look like it's coming from their wisdom, from their own wealth of wisdom. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I saw something in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, and it says, for we have the living word of God, which is full of energy, like a two-mouthed sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secrets and secret motives of our hearts. Hallelujah. If you strongly study God's word and follow God's word, what it says, and live by it, you will hardly be led astray. The end of that place says, it interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of our hearts. A lot of people have suffered from what they call heartbreaks. Say, hey, he break my heart. Hey, I saw someone that was admitted once, and I said, what's wrong with that? He said, heartbreak. They're admitting you for heartbreak. Okay. So, when the Bible says it interprets and reveals the true thoughts, so what it's telling me is that there's the possibility of people having false or fake thoughts in their minds. So someone comes to Sister Angelina, for instance, and starts scoping, you know, starts depositing love languages or whatever, toasting her. She will need to first be in a certain frame of mind with certain levels of understanding to know that this is a lie or this person is speaking from the heart. Hallelujah. There's this joke that when an Igbo girl, a real Igbo girl, especially from Anambra side, when an Anambra girl sees you from a distance, she can tell how much you have in your pocket. It's a joke, that they can tell how much you have in your pocket. So it's saying that they don't play with money. A typical Anambra girl does not play with money. She can tell you how much you have. She can tell whether you have money or you don't have. You know? So if you borrow that line, if you really have God's spirit in you, someone cannot just carry come and scope you anyhow, just, you know, make you fall, yakata. And that's why I pity somebody and say, and I fell in love. You fell in love. Yeah, you did fall, they go. They should catch you. Hallelujah. If there's anything you want to fall with, you better rise in love. Oh. Rise in love. Because God's word, God himself is love. And we rise with him. In him. I've never seen anywhere in the scripture. I've never seen anywhere in the scripture where he talks about falling when he's describing love. You will rise. That's why I love that scripture. It says, rise like an edifice. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So we stand, I read that to say, we stand only on what God's word says. Praise the Lord. So we don't allow the world to deceive us with all of its philosophies and all that. We are not moved by that. We don't follow that. We follow what the scripture says. We know, we understand, we read. And so we follow the scriptures because God's word can never lead us astray. We stand only on what the word of God says. Hallelujah. Let's open to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. So I was asking someone, I said, how do you make an appearance or introduction of the one you love? How do you make an appearance or an introduction of the one you love? Reminds me of the first time I met my wife, and I thought, I said, I'll come to your place during the Christmas. She thought I was joking because I've never been there before. And then somehow I traveled to Abuja, and as I was coming back, I said, I must find that place. She just wrote the address for me. Many risks we took those days. Wrote the address for me, and I used that address and went looking. We didn't know anything about Google Map then. Took the address and asking questions, stopped. I was coming from Abuja, dropped at Nsukka, found my way to Ninth Mile, and from there got to Owerri or something, and then from Owerri, I found my way to Obo, and then I asked questions. I just asked. I said, I'm looking for Mommy Nurse, because that's what she said. If you just ask of Mommy Nurse when you get to 7 and a half junction, and I just asked, I said, yeah, Mommy Nurse. And they just pointed near the Anglican church. I said, ah, they were shocked. I got there, they were in church, and it was a Sunday morning, it was a Christmas day, because I traveled throughout the night and all that. So, Christmas morning, and they pointed, and said, I said, yes, the church. They took me to the church. So, as they saw me, everybody in church went, hallelujah. It's a good thing I found her in church. Don't let people find you in the nightclub. Amen. All right. Matthew 12, 33 to 35. It says, you must determine if a tree is good or rotten. You can recognize good trees by their delicious fruit. But if you find rotten fruit, you can be certain that the tree is rotten. The fruit defines the tree. But you who are known as the Pharisees are rotten to the core like venomous snakes. How can your words be good if you are rotten within? For what has been stored up in your hearts will be heard in the overflow of your words. When virtue is stored within, the hearts of good, upright people will produce good fruit. But when evil is hidden within, those who are evil will produce evil fruit. Amen. Also, open to Luke 9. I'm still on that question I asked. How do you make an appearance or an introduction of the one you love? Talking about good fruit, bad fruit. A tree is known by its fruit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Pastor Muyiwa said one day, he said, if they catch you breaking rules everywhere, don't come and say, this is my father. Don't point me because I will deny you. So a tree is known by its fruit. Hallelujah. If you represent Surpassing Grace Assembly, it should be a good record out there that yes. And then when they look at where you're coming from, they look at, oh, okay, no wonder. We've often been told how, I think it was Pastor Enwa that told the story how when someone finally got to know who his father was, say, ah, no wonder. And that's it. We know who we are. We know who our father is. So, lion, not a born goat. So when they see you, people should see that you represent God. A godly character, a godly conduct should be what comes out of you. Praise the Lord. I know it's the season of, you know, Valentine, and then a lot of people do not misunderstand flowers, do not misunderstand writings and all that. Be glued to what the scripture says. Hallelujah. First, you are loved. A child that understands that I am loved by my father will not be deceived easily by one bad guy out there. Because that's always what happens. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. Because you understand, you know the true picture of love. The true picture of love is what Christ showed us in the Bible. Amen. Amen. So how do you make, how do you introduce the one you love? When I was young, I used to know this, there's this deacon who, when they're going to church, will tell his wife always walks in front, never walks with her, never walks side by side. She will walk in front. The wife is big and he's just a slim man. Maybe he's ashamed to walk with her side by side. But whatever your package is, carry on like that. It's your package. It's your property. Hallelujah. I kept wondering why. So one day my mom just teased him. Like, you know, they follow Madame Waka. Said, sir, let me keep this Waka for front. They go. Well, we not get the same pace. As in, they don't. He walks fast. And the woman, you know, with her size and everything. So he said, make sure they go for front. Ingo, they come for back. For me, growing up, it's not a good picture. Hallelujah. It's not a good picture. I love that picture where I see a man and I see his wife. Always. I know that they may work in different places and other, but good times, you should see them together. You see them breathing. Another one, still a deacon. So the topic was raised in church that year, and because it's something for youths to learn from. And then as we were discussing about the matter in church, the senior pastor threw the question, is it okay to operate a joint account with your spouse? The deacon was first to jump and say, for what now? Where did they bring that nonsense? So the wife said, I don't even know what he earns. She doesn't even know his salary, what he earns. I'm like, I said, no wonder. The man fled up. He said, no, pastor, don't bring that kind of thing. You know, so many things. But I've seen some cases where we want to do something or maybe transactions and all that. And then Pastor Enwa will say, we just make a call. Mrs. D, pay this. That means she has knowledge of what's there. Praise the Lord. I'm speaking from my own experience. I love this one, so I'm speaking of what I love. I've seen it as a good example, and I copy that. So I operate joint accounts. Not even matter of joint account. I'm very transparent with my wife to the point that I don't have locks on my phone, and I love that. And I learned it from here. Praise the Lord. Yes, if I have a pastor who passwords his phone, I'll be worried, I'll be concerned. Passwords his phone from his wife, I'll be concerned. Because that's not a good lesson for me. Amen. So I've also seen where Mrs. Duro Woju takes Pastor Wife's phone and makes a call. That means the phone is not passworded. Maybe passworded to us. She has the key. Amen. Praise the Lord. These are keys that will help us navigate through life easily, because it's causing a lot of battle out there. These are things that are, I don't want to go into some things, but there's a lot happening out there. I heard of a man who was in the hospital and they needed to do something. So it was to undergo surgery. I think they put his hand on the phone and they opened this. And so his wife was going to make a transaction and all that. And then as soon as the man got to know that his phone has been opened and all that, he started, you know, there was palpitations and all that. And all that. What is his worry? The phone is open and he has a lot of things he doesn't want Madame to know. May God help us in Jesus' name. Even in that his condition, you don't get choice. Amen. Okay, so Luke chapter 9, verse 26. So why then are you ashamed of being my disciple? Are you ashamed of the revelation truth I give to you? I, the Son of Man, will one day return in my radiant brightness with the holy angels and in the splendor and majesty of my Father. On that day, I will be ashamed of everyone who has been ashamed of me. I don't want to live a life in a relationship where I'm ashamed of my wife. If I'm not ashamed of Christ, why should I be ashamed of the one with whom I say I share my life? Praise God. I also know of someone too who is so disciplined to the point that if he's punishing his children, he's punishing his wife. So he'll bring, periwinkle shells, yeah. He'll put them on the floor. I make the boys, he has sons, so he'll make them kneel down because they scattered the house. He just came back from work. They dread him as soon as when they hear his horn like this, everybody's camper, and he'll punish them and punish the mother also. So yeah, make sure he kneel down too, follow them. Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and you're punishing your flesh, your bone. Your shop, you will the dinner you will take will be pap filled with periwinkle. May God help us in Jesus' name. So when we talk about love, love is not to be abused. It's a deep feeling that comes from I prefer the scriptural interpretation of what love is. Love is kind. When he talks about love, he talks about charity. When he talks about love, he talks about patience. He talks about so many things. You will see a lot of things that have the tendencies to annoy you, but when love is there, you tolerate you, even when you know it's not right. Praise the Lord. I was talking about my mother that calls me different name. My wife does it also. When my wife calls me this name, you know. When he calls certain name, I say, it has reached the rooftop. You know? So, where there is love, there should be tolerance. Where there's love, you know, the Bible says, forbearing one another. Hallelujah. Forbearing one another is not the one that you're saying, I'm just waiting because I know he will change. When you know he's a bad guy, you see him smoke. Someone called me recently. I was complaining about someone, her partner, and was talking. I said, okay. I listened to the point. And I said, wait. You said what? He's married. Uh-huh. So what are you doing with him? He said, and I was just waiting. I told her, I said, witchcraft, there's witchcraft everywhere. You are waiting for someone's husband to die, for someone's wife to die, so you take over. You are waiting, you are just be patiently waiting, and you are, for another person's husband. Don't let God deal with you. Let's see the book of Mark, chapter 8. There are different things that will show you things that will make you know if someone truly loves you. Mark chapter 8, verse 35 to 38, it says, for if you let your life go for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, you will continually experience true life. This is Christ talking. He said, but if you choose to keep your life for yourself, you will forfeit what you try to keep. For what use is it to gain all the wealth and power of this world with everything it could offer you at the cost of your own life? And what could be more valuable to you than your own soul? If you are ashamed of me and my words while living among sinful and faithless people, then I, the Son of Man, will also be ashamed of you when I make my appearance with my holy messengers in the glorious splendor of my Father. It's almost the same thing that Luke said. You know, I was looking at how to know he loves you, or how to know she loves you. You know, I read something that says, watch it. If he or she does not love God, he or she can never love you truly. You know, a lot of people pick a spouse before they even try to, or pick a partner in relationship or say yes to someone even before, even without even seeking God's face. A lot of people do it. A lot. So they have sized and say, okay, which family are you from? And this, that, and look at the person, size the person, look at, what do you call it now? Six packs, look at the height, must be tall, like set man, fine, cute guy with six packs. If he has an amusement park, it's a no-no. And then you do all your selections and everything before you're not saying, I think it's, you have concluded already. So there's no need for God to say anything as if he doesn't have a say. No, that shouldn't be it. Praise God. That shouldn't be it. If you pick somebody who does not, in fact, a lot of people pick, I've seen a whole lot. People pick, even when they know this is an outright no. So you pick the devil's son, a son-in-law. You pick the devil's son, and you become the devil's daughter-in-law. You pick the devil's daughter, you become the devil's son-in-law. Because you are seeing that this person does not even know God. There's one, she was reporting her case in a relationship forum, and she said, yeah, she knew outrightly that the guy is even a gangster, and blah, 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 and all that. And you expect him to have the characters of Christ. No. Where we read earlier on says, a tree is known by its fruit. So she saw him beating even his elder sister when she visited. And you expect him to treat you nicely. First day, because there's ice cream, he's licking your feet and worshiping the ground you walked on. But he's beating his elder sister in your presence. He's saying, no, that's just his sister. She must have done something for me. I'm special. Special in the, only on that day. You'll be amazed. So later on, she started receiving ghost bars, and now she's reporting that she's not, she didn't expect, I was hoping it would change in her. I was hoping it would change. Where? When? May God help us in Jesus' name. If he doesn't love God, he's never going to love you truly. He's never going to love you truly. I don't want someone who doesn't have respect for God, who doesn't love God. If you have somebody who loves God, whose heart is after God, such person will love you. Will love you. Because Jesus himself told us, okay, let's look at the scripture. When Paul was talking in Ephesians chapter 5, you know, they say you can't give what you don't have. And there's this one I'm trying to remember now. It says, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. So, I know a lot of people who have entered a relationship, and the person is stingy. There's one I met one time like that. It was close to my birthday. Not because I needed anything, but she didn't even need money, and I gave her some money, large sums of money, enough to carry her for a period of time. And it was even my birthday. The card she gave me, I will never forget. Card she gave me. It's not even a card she bought for me. She cleaned the name that was there and put my name there. How can you be that stingy? You cannot love without giving. Such level of stinginess. Stingy, cuckoo. It's not the character of God. No. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5. Look at what it says. Out of respect for Christ, be cautiously reverent. I'm reading the, what version is this? I'm reading the Message, yes. I prefer this one from the Message. It says, out of respect for Christ, be cautiously reverent to one another. Wives, understand and support your husband. Don't say because they are saying wife and other. If you are in a relationship, you are single, you are in a relationship, you can learn from here. I learned a whole lot before I got married. So you can learn from here. Wives, understand and support your husbands in ways that show your support for Christ. I love that. In ways that show your support for Christ. Hallelujah. Then he says, the husband provides leadership to his wife, the way Christ does to his church. So someone asked the question, I threw something on the youth platform, someone asked a question that, so what if you are with a partner? I think it's a lady that asked a question. Say, what if you are with a guy that does not have direction or vision or something? I say, quit. I cannot be following you. We are heading nowhere. I can't deal. I can't be following you and we are heading nowhere. You are just following. Blind man leading blind man. You will both end in the dish. You don't, he doesn't have a vision, so you don't have where you're going. I'm just following. It doesn't work like that. So, so the husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church. Not by domineering, but by cherishing. So not by force, like the man who asks his wife to kneel on that shelf with his children, treating the woman like she's one of your child. No, not by dominating and using all manner of oppression. So, but cherishing. Cherishing. I told someone once during a relationship talk show, one of the ladies that came to teach, that they said, what many people do not understand is that the best of relationship that you get at the later part of the day starts from the morning. You wake up in the morning, nice words. You're going to work, nice words. Come back from work, nice words. They are nice words. Thank you. How are you? Fine. You're good. You're beautiful. You're fine. Then you get the best of that person. Not those bars, and then you expect a good response. No, no, it doesn't work that way. Okay. Husbands, go all out in your... Okay, that's not where I am. Okay, so just as the church submits to Christ, as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. A love marked by giving. Giving. Not getting. I talked about some people who all they know is get. Give me. Sister, gift. Give me. They just want to get everything. Sister, gift. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Hallelujah. So if we are really to be like Christ, your wife should be smiling all the time. Hello, men. All the men, hello. Our wives should be like Christ. Our wives should be like what Christ just described. Adoring her with words. Honey, you look nice. You know, women, when they come back from salon, they can shake the hair. They can shake it as many times as possible because you have not said something. They can shake the hair as many times as possible. You must see it. Hallelujah. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her. So if you don't see the best out of your wife, you are the cause. There must be something fundamentally wrong with you. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's why I share the testimony most times. I have an old pattern that I choose to delete from my system and follow a new pattern by what I see, by example in front of me. And it's only reasonable that I follow it. If I don't, that means something's wrong with me. And I'm enjoying it. Praise God. When we see your wife radiate with so much beauty and good things coming, we know. There are times, Mrs. D, after service, I tell her, Mrs. D, your praise leading this Sunday is totally different. Pastor Nwa must have done something. Hallelujah. See, that's how we used to hail you in choir. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Pastor is smiling. And I am shaking. Because I am finished. Hallelujah. But honestly speaking, we have wonderful pastors in the house, honestly. Their lives have... Come on, let's jump our hands together for our pastors. Honestly, my life is a total testimony. Yeah. I love this one compared to a man. So you have this chief who has 13 wives. They will be sending messages. This one is coming here this week. He's going here this. What kind of life is this? They don't like the life, oh. But people are admiring and say, I want to be like this. I want to be like this. Can you imagine? No. It's crazy. So, where did I stop? To bring the best out of her. Dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They are really doing themselves a favor. So, when I love my wife to the point that it spurs her onto good work, I'm doing myself a favor. I'm not doing her a favor. I'm doing myself a favor. Praise God. I remember that place in Proverbs that says, it's better to be in a house that has leaking roofs than to be under same roof with a troublesome woman. If you know what's good for you, you would in your own favor, you will obey what the scripture is saying. Hallelujah. Since they are already one in marriage, no one abuses his own body. Does he? No. He feeds and pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church. I'll stop here because of time. That's how Christ treats us. So sometimes I wake up in the night, I go outside the house to pray. As I pray, I come back, lay my hands on my children, lay my hands on my wife, and I begin to thank God for a peaceful, loving family. And I begin to reflect. I said, the Bible says this is how Christ loves us. This is how he pampers us. It doesn't matter what Mrs. Sage has done to me earlier on. I've forgiven, I've loved her, even advanced forgiveness. I've forgiven her and I love her. Sometimes my children say, my children admire to have in their future. I think they want to have a husband like me, like their father, because they see how much I love their mother. Praise the Lord. And it's no pretense at all. I'm not doing it to show. It's no pretense at all. But I tell myself, I say, this is how Christ loves me. This is how Christ loves me lavishly, unconditionally. I'm spoiled. Hey! I'm spoiled. I'm over surpassing love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love that kind of love. Praise God. You know, some people just look at you and like, not only you know God, because of the way you do, they don't understand. You are behaving like that because you know, you understand the kind of love God has for you. They don't understand because they've never felt, you can't give what you don't have. So they've never understood. Someone asked me once after one of our services in Abuja, he said, that thing you talk now, so Christ really be? I said, that's Christ for you. He loves us. He doesn't keep records of our wrongs. Hallelujah. If he was keeping record, you won't even have the temerity to enter this place that you want to worship. But he keeps no record. So he loves us. He loves us. And he tells us that's how the Father also loves us. That he gave his only begotten Son. Hallelujah. I'll end with this. Self-centered people are partially blind. They fail to see that they are and do what they hate. Have you seen some people? Some people can't understand. So they see you, they're like, why is it that it's only Pastor NYSF? Now only he did and only God is blessed. God give and this, God give and this. If they are in that, they love to be in that position. They love to be that. But I don't know why it's paining them anyway. So they love. They are and they do what they hate. Sometimes people can't understand. But we don't care. Whether or not they understand, there's one thing we must do. We appreciate that love that God gives us. Hallelujah. Amen. Can we just take time and just talk to him? Father, I appreciate you for the love you've given me. I love you. I love you. I love you. Thank you for the true picture of love. I will declare with public affirmation, without fear, expressing myself, understanding that this love is a gift from you. It's a gift and a sign of your love. There's no secrecy about it. I just love the way you love me, and I love you truly back. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving me too much. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving me too much. Oh, thank you for loving me too much. Oh, thank you for loving me too much. I love the song that says, out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living water. As you sing that, this is the picture I want you to have in your mind. Lord, this love you have shown me, I will reflect it. I will duplicate it. I will show it everywhere I go. Show it to those who don't understand it. Show it to those who don't even know you, so that they can come and test of this love. Out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living water.